This is another episode of the Comedy Reject Podcast, brought to you by Still My Ass, man. We miss you, Matt Olex. We can't wait to have you back. He's out there in Halifax, Nova Scotia, doing the damn thing. Mm-hmm. But we miss you here on the podcast, and I believe you'll be back in a couple weeks. So hope to a speedy return to producing this, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, the production has gone down.
I mean, it has.
Significantly.
And with that being said, I am very happy to still have a very special guest here with me today. None other than the man, the myth, the wonder, Sonny D.
What up, everybody?
So, oh, my God. We had a wild week, eh?
Yes.
A wild couple of days, man. So we did the show. So mm-hmm. For those of you who are new to the podcast, hello.
Where you been?
Where you been?
Join the 40.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Join my dedicated 40. We threw a New Year's Eve comedy show on Zoom. I'm not going to lie. At first, I was nervous. I was very nervous. I didn't think people would want to spend money to watch us on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I'll be 100%. You were the one that came with the original idea that said to do it on Zoom and to charge $20 to $25.
Yeah, so we were thinking either we do it on Zoom or do it on IG.
Yeah, I was going with more of the IG and Facebook Live.
And then your idea was to do like a, almost like a telethon, right?
Yeah, where they just like a pay what you can telethon where nobody pays, everybody watches and just lets it in. I'm glad that we went against that. We switched it up, though. Like we decided to not do that. Well, we decided to not do that for the reason that Live and Facebook, IG Live and Facebook are unstable.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we did the last Comedy Reject podcast on Instagram Live.
Yes.
And fluctuates. It's like, you know, seven people look in there and then 20, then to zero.
Yeah. At one point, I had one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, who's this one person? You're like, Mia. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Mia, an official dedicated 40 listener. I love
it. And the winner of the 50-50.
Yo, yeah. And won a huge prize. Okay, we'll get into that too.
Yeah.
So then we now decided to do it like with the Zoom show, which I'm like extremely happy that we did it with the Zoom show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's our thing. Like we could do whatever we want in Zoom. We don't have to worry about being shut down with the music, or we could change our backdrops. You know what I'm saying? I really love the switching of the cameras so we can move rooms
right
with the push of a button.
And you know, you're paying for a show, so you're attending that show.
Yes.
So we will have there at no point will there be, you know, one person watching or like an influx of a lot of people. They're there for the show, and they're there for the entire show.
Yeah, and they were locked in.
Yeah.
And good thing that they were, because we put on one hell of a fucking show. If you guys missed the New Year's Eve countdown show, wow. Wow. We had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
However, my heart was broken when I came home.
Yes.
Because when I came home, we were looking at the reviews. And this is why I respect you as an artist, because it was bothering me that it was a great show, but that the audio messed up.
Yeah.
And it ended up bothering you, too, to the point that both of us were like, I can't be happy.
Yeah.
I cannot be happy with the fact that knowing that it wasn't perfect.
Yeah, it bothered me there.
Did you know that there that the audio was messed up?
I knew that.
I knew when you were doing stand up that you found out that.
I knew there that it wasn't going as smoothly as promised.
And speaking of promised, the day before, so me and Sonny, we rented a studio and hired some film and video people to do the show for us.
And as soon as we got there, like the first thing they said is, hey, we got a sound engineer.
Yep.
So the sound that we didn't say a word. We said hello and we were just, you know, unpacking. And that's the first thing they said is the sound is going to be amazing. And that was the first thing promised to us. And it was, I remember coming back home and thinking, man, like I feel really assured that this is gonna go smoothly, because we asked them and told them all the things that we needed, and right away they're like, yeah, we got that.
I love
that.
When you were like, those guys seem very knowledgeable. Yeah, like that's what you said in the car.
Yeah, the word I said was competent. They seem very competent. Because anything we told them, they're like, yeah, we got it. And then it was so heartbreaking for me having to, like,
Run them through the day of.
Yeah. And then
run them through the day of and let me know exactly at the point when you realize that they lied to us.
Okay. So at first I was kind of vexed because you went to get food for the crew. Very, very nice of you. And you're like, you know, son, you take over. And only one thing I wanted. I wanted the rap battle video to be rendered. And I wanted to run through. The run through was the only one thing I wanted. And we didn't, for an hour, we did not get to run it through because it was always excuses. Oh, we're doing this right now. Oh, we got to do this right now. So I've been to chaotic sets and, like, shows like this. And so that's always a warning, a red flag for me. But as soon as we started the show and we were off camera and we're both trying to come in and they couldn't log in, that's when I was like, I was like, yo, this is bullshit what you're doing. Send yourself the link. That's what I told them. And then they blamed everything on Zoom.
my fear was, and God bless him, because I know Sonny's mad, but it's like, for me, I was laughing because I was like, yo, y'all really don't know what you're doing over there.
Yeah.
Because the man goes, yo, it was 5 minutes before show.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, I ain't never even did a Zoom show before. I just woke up this morning and was watching videos on YouTube. And I went,
Tell us five minutes. You can tell us that the first day.
That was on the 5 minute mark. Remember when I was like, "Yo, guys, we got 5 minutes. Can we at least get a run through?" And he goes, "Man, this is my first Zoom show." I was like, "Why? Why would you say that? No, like, why now?"
And then when everything was blamed on Zoom, it's like, "Oh, we can't do that. We can't do that." And I'm just thinking, like, "Why not?" I've done two Zoom shows. The New Year's Eve was my third one, and just from doing those two. And, like, you know, and we're figuring it out as we go as well as, like, comedians.
Yeah, because we were giving in input, too, when we were talking about screen shares.
Yeah.
And how to use multiple cameras without having to. I was like, why do we have to set up multiple cameras? Why don't we just log in as a user
exactly.
And then from the main computer we swap over?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, you could do that. And I'm like, why didn't you know that?
Exactly.
No, like, I'm the guy that hired you. Like,
and so they, you know, so first they were just like, oh, like, we can't put the pictures up. This is during the show, and they're like, so let's take a break. And we're like, there's no fucking commercial breaks.
There's no commercial breaks.
What are you talking about? And then, so I had to tell them, like, oh, you can't, like, if you were at the show or if you were watching the show, you could tell. Sterling and I were just talking to them at this point. We're just like, listen, spotlight this, screen share this.
You actually got up and left the desk.
Yeah.
was it during Be Easy set? Like, you actually physically got up, walked over.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can see me on the camera, and you just leave.
Yeah. And because, you know what? I was like, wait, Be Easy is, like, halfway through his set.
And he wasn't spotlighted.
And he was not. Yeah. So no one could. But spotlight just means that.
Yeah, let him know what spotlight means.
So, like, there's one main focus in camera and one main control board, like, one main computer that controls everything. And so if there's, like, a multiple screens and multiple people there. What spotlight means is you can click on that screen, which was Be Easy doing his set.
Who was performing. Be Easy. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. You spotlight that, and then everybody that's watching the show gets to see that camera. Right?
Yes.
It's kind of like someone's, like, if we were to say, hey, you over there in Toronto, you have something to say, and then we are all now watching this.
I appreciate that we did have people from Vancouver, Toronto,
yeah.
Edmonton. Yo, we really had
everybody,
it was
man.
Dope.
It was crazy.
But yeah, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, and then like one of the things was this is the review that I got when I came back, that they were talking throughout the entire show because instead of muting their mic, they kept their mic on and didn't realize that their mic was on.
Their
mic was on, and they're sitting at the laptop talking. So, yeah, needless to say, I was pretty vexed.
I will say that these guys are young, and you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to throw yourself in the fire.
Yeah, and that's the thing,
to learn, and I really hope that they learned something
for
from
sure.
us.
But then also, I hope what they learned, sorry to cut you off,
it's okay.
but I hope they learned is you under-promise and over-deliver. You don't fucking promise us the moon, and then you can't get off the ground.
Nice. I like that.
Right? Like, what is that?
Under-promise, over-deliver.
I always under-promise, over-deliver.
I tell every girl I got 3 inches of dick.
Yo. And they're surprised when that 4.5 comes out.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo.
She'd be like, wait a minute, this is almost 5.
Yeah, like, baby, you over-deliver.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, that is my new motto. You know, they say you should learn something new every day.
Yeah.
That is one of the most beautiful lessons. Under, say it again.
Under promise, over deliver.
Oh, that's how daddy's walking into 2021.
Yeah.
Under
always.
Promise, over deliver. That's how the, oh my God, I'm stealing that. I'm using that all day now.
Yeah, you ever ask me how I am at stand up? I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm okay.
But you ask me, it's like, I'm the greatest that was ever created. I'm so horrible. I will say, the freestyle battle is what I was nervous about. Mm-hmm. It was one of my most nervous things because I'm like, with stand-up, I mean, let's be honest, I didn't even worry about my stand-up. I was looking at what possible jokes I could use at the same time you were already on stage.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about stand-up. But I am not going to lie, the freestyle battle gave me some sleepless nights, man. I was nervous to the point where it's like, because I'm like, yo, I don't know if I'm going to be good. Yeah, I'm not a rapper.
Yeah.
But I want to be as good as a rapper. Like I'm taking it on with the same attitude as I got to be as good as what you watch on television.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm not a rapper. But, like, honestly, it was bugging me a lot. But I will say, with that being said, I say that to say this. I thought the rap battle was dope.
Yeah. And so it was really choppy. That's the other thing, too. And it wasn't edited correctly, but I hope we get the footage back and make it proper.
Actually, I was supposed to go today to go pick up the equipment.
Okay, there you go.
But yeah, I'm definitely gonna get that footage from them. And when I get that footage, my dedicated 40, I'm gonna post it in its entirety, so that you guys can see how it was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm still getting over that. The Curry, I told you that in confidence. Like,
yo.
That was one of the hardest lines to not laugh at. And shout out to B-Eazy, a.k.a. Slap.
Slap.
He did a great job.
He did fantastic.
He did a great job of being the he was, because, you know, we had to do a social distance show. So, you know, we don't have a lot of people in the studio. So B-Eazy had to be the host and the crowd. And he had to be my my backup and Sonny's backup at the same time. So he's just rotating sides and then jumping in the middle like, all right, round two.
Yeah, he had no loyalty in that battle.
Zero.
He just went after whatever was hot.
It was hilarious, though, because he was really sweating in that.
Yeah.
The rap battle was fantastic. Yo, like, have you ever done, like, a rap battle? Because, like, yo, you came off with some bars in that. You came off acting like, oh, I ain't gonna do nothing. And all of a sudden, you like, why you think we rapping in front of this thing so I could put you in a rap? Like, I was like, oh, that, shit.
So I've done a couple of comedy rap battles. And then I have a friend who's famous on YouTube, really dope guy. And I wanted to do a rap battle with him. And the footage never came out.
Well, shout him out. Who's the famous
AKA
person?
Amazing.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, AKA
He's
Amazing.
Definitely not under-promising.
Yeah. So he's fire, bro. He's fire. And he actually raps, though. So he's like, he's amazing. I fuck with him heavy. Shout out to AK. But yeah, the footage never came out because he's like, oh, man, I thought this was going to be like comedy. And you really went at me.
He's like, you under-promise and you over-deliver.
So I did that. But I always the first line, the one that you were talking about, I always wondered why no one ever said that at a rap battle. Like, because, like, I know they're friends. So, like, I just wanted someone to just start around and be like, yo, why would you say that to me?
It was,
that was so disrespectful.
Funny.
How dare you? You've been in my home. You've been with my child.
You got the man goes, yo, my first lines were supposed to be, you complete me.
Yeah. You guys will see it. You'll see it.
Yo, what I tell you guys, you missed out on something special there. However, we had such a damn good time that we did, me and Sonny did pre-plan to hang out again before my birthday. My birthday's in 10 days, people.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it, and we are actually very happy to announce we're coming back. Sonny's coming back here, and we are doing a birthday Zoom comedy show.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be hilarious. Once again, we'll have me and Sonny performing stand-up. I'm working on some new stuff. Hopefully be ready by the time to drop for y'all. And we're going to have some new guests on the show. We're going to have some new comedians from around the country coming in. It's going to be a wild show. Like, I'm calling in some banger comedians. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say their names yet because as you watch the show, just comedian after comedian is going to be piling on because every comedian that gets to come on the show gets to roast me. And I can promise you right now, there is nothing sweeter than making fun of a person with an ego as overinflated as mine. So it's going to be one hell of a show, man. So if you enjoyed the New Year's Eve countdown, this one's going to be even better because you're going to hear us.
Yes, yes. We are going to do it all in-house. And we're going to make this happen. We're going to do run-throughs. Everything is going
to
go.
Yeah, let me explain that to the people. So for my dedicated 40, you guys know for a fact that I built a studio in my bedroom so that I could do live recording podcasts, which we're recording the podcast in the room opposite of that room, and I still haven't used it yet. You know what I'm saying? That entire place where we filmed the other podcast, it was supposed to be, all my podcasts are supposed to be video.
Right, right.
I'm just lazy. I haven't done it yet. And I apologize, guys. I'm getting
on. Yeah, your producer's in Halifax. I get
it.
You
know what I'm saying? I know. So what we did was I ordered some more stuff. So now I have my own sound equipment. I have literally my living room is set up and the bedroom is set up as two separate studios. So in the living room, we're going to have it's gonna be the TV set, whatever you want to call it, our anchor's desk.
There you go.
And then in the bedroom will be where the stand up will be shown. So, you know, me and Sonny will be here physically, but we'll have some other comedians coming in on Zoom from around the country. So, yeah, man, I don't think there's ever been a Zoom show quite like ours. I like that we had different elements to it. So for those of you who didn't watch, it wasn't just stand-up. It was, we had, you know, like a talk show format. We had, like, you know, games. Man, we were giving away money.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody's comedy show that gave away money. We actually gave away money on ours. We had, like, a raffle. We had prizes for who had the best roast. It was just a damn fun show, man. And honestly, a lot of times I always get super nervous. You know what I mean? Like, my anxiety was through the roof on the day of the show. I will not deny it. How did you feel? Because I will say that your calm, cool, collective moving in the pocket was kind of like when a comedian gets a big laugh off their first joke. You put me at ease.
Okay.
So what was going on in your head?
You know what's so
during the show?
You know what's so funny is I felt the same way about you. Your smile, I was like, all right, I can't yell at these kids. Right? Like, so I was calm and cool because we did everything, right? Like, as soon as the rap battle was filmed, I was like, okay, so now that part is done, and that's the only thing I wanted to do beforehand. Right? And so when that was done, and I'm like, okay, cool. Now everything else, we just have to be us, right? We just have to be us. The roasting of our pictures is going to just come naturally. Our chemistry is undeniable. And then we have the stand-up to fall. Like, that was our ace in the hole.
Yeah, the stand-up was our ace in the hole. Like, if all else fails, we're going to give an hour of good stand-up.
Exactly. And if the show is going by, you know, fast, then we just do less stand-up. You know, if we need to fill in some time, we just do more stand-up.
We actually ended up having so much fun that my stand-up and your stand-up got cut.
Yeah.
You ended up doing, like, 15, and I ended up doing, like, 12. Like, we didn't have any more time.
Yeah. And you know what? And that's what I was hoping for. that you know what I mean? Like if it was like we have to do 30 and you have to do 30, I was like, man, we didn't really capitalize on what we needed to do. So I was fine until we were about to start. You know what I mean? So I was like, because then like everything else is out of our control,
mm-hmm.
right? I can't. At one point I tried to, but I can't. We can't be at the desk and then also behind the computer, right? We can't.
Well, now we figured out how to do that.
Exactly.
Though.
We couldn't like at that venue. We couldn't be the stars and the directors.
I hate doing that. I don't know if you feel this way, but like I hate producing a show and being on it because it's like. It's two different masks. It's mm-hmm. like you can't be the producer, the audience, and the comedian at the same time. When I'm producing a show, I'm looking at what's wrong all the time. All
right,
so and even when it's perfect, I'm trying to make sure that it doesn't break perfection. So there's never an easy moment for me. But then when I slide into the stand-up comedian head frame, that's a whole different ball game. That's now I need to be a different person almost.
Right.
Right? And it's like I can't fully commit to the comedy because I'm like, as I'm performing, the producer in me is still like, why is that door open? Someone's got to make this person stop heckling. What's the sound like? Where's the spot like? While I'm performing, so my mind is not fully in the moment. But when I'm performing and it's just a show, well, that's your fucking problem. Yeah. I got the mic. I got the crowd. Whatever happens, happens. But I cannot shake it. And as an audience member, I laugh at chaos. I laugh at everything. So I don't care about the producer. And I don't even care if the comedian's audio – well, no, if this audio sucks, I don't pay attention anymore. I more laugh at them struggling. Watching a comedian bomb – a good comedian bomb on the stage is like watching – one of your best friends who can't swim almost drown. But it's
hilarious.
It's, you know what I mean? It's hilarious. Like they're flapping around, like they're yeah. not gonna drown, but their fear of you're just like somebody gonna get him before he dies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. So like I couldn't fully be into the show. And with what we're doing now on the next show, with everything being taken care of, I love that it lets both of us just focus on the funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
but yeah, how do you do?
Yeah, yeah. Back to what's called producing a show and being on it. I was starting out in stand up, and by starting out, I mean I'm like 3 years in. You know what I mean? Four years in, or something like that. Maybe less. But Kyle Jones and I. Vancouver comic. Now he lives on like Pender Island. Good dude. He's like, he gets me to run his show with him. So it was like one of the first times I was producing a show, and it was in Vancouver. However, the venue was terrible. Like it was a struggle for you to get like good laughs. You know what I mean? Like, but it was one of those like, hey, you can make it here, you can make it anywhere type rooms. So. People loved it. People loved going there. But it was just, it was like, it was such a big venue, and we'd get like, you know, 15 people in there. And like, you couldn't sit like properly. It was hard. It was a hard room.
What was this place like regularly? What was it?
It was like a restaurant, a bar? Yeah, yeah. It was like a bar lounge, almost like club at some points.
Oh, now Jesus Christ.
Now it's a club, like 100% club. It's nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a sports bar club type deal. And every single time, but so this was our like failsafe. Kyle and I would be like, okay, cool. We got a whole show. We're going to put these comics up. And, you know, if someone bombs or if the show's not going well, we'll throw one of us on and we'll do our like basically our showcase set.
Smart move.
Or we'll do like, you know, we'll like start riffing with the crowd and whatever. We'll save the show. I'm telling you, every fucking week, it'd be like, what? First person up. All right, Kyle, you got to go up there. Right? You know, second, third person up. All right, Sonny, it's your turn now. It's like, we had to save it every fucking
time. At least
time.
You had two people.
Yeah.
I had that exact same situation. In Edmonton, everybody in Edmonton knows of, who's followed my career. You guys remember when I used to run for 6 years, I ran a room called Rouge Lounge. You performed there too.
Yes.
And in Rouge Lounge, it was known as the toughest crowd, but also one of the hardest laughing crowds.
Mm.
So you can't go in there, act, and no one's heckling you. So Rouge Lounge was a lot like what you just said. You hear I just called the place Rouge Lounge. Rouge Lounge was the combination of a restaurant, bar, and sometimes a nightclub.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever they had to do to try to get the dough in. And so for 6 years, I would run this show. And how the show came to me was because they were like, yo, whenever you're on the bill, we get the most people. The person that runs this show doesn't want to run it no more. They want to actually shout out Denisha Ballou, who is now an MP in Edmonton. But she used to run the comedy night. And so it got passed off to me.
If people knew that, she would not be the MP.
No. But, like, yeah, she ended up running for office and won. It was passed off to me, and I had to do exactly what you said, but it was only me. And so my rookie mistake, because just like you, 3 years in, 4 years in, I would use my material. Mm. I didn't develop that crowd work muscle or that ability to make fun of what just happened.
Right.
Because at one of my shows, this is one of the funniest bomb stories, because Simon King and a young guy by the name of Chris Gordon, we had met one time before, and so I never knew Simon King at this point in time, and the comedian, it was Simon King going before Chris Gordon, and another comedian bombed. So I went up and I did exactly what you said. I don't know who Simon King is at the time. So I went up and I did some killer material to get the crowd back laughing, handed the baton off to Simon King, and he murders. And then Chris Gordon, now, okay, you guys, if you don't know who Chris Gordon is, you will laugh at the idea of this. Chris Gordon back in the day, and we're talking 10, 12 years ago, he was the kind of comedian that would show up to comedy shows with his cell phone number printed on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go on stage and tell people to text message him jokes and all kinds of shit. And he had a bit where he talks about getting drunk or something and blacking out with some gay dudes or whatever. I can't remember the bit or how it goes, but essentially the bit ends where he takes his shirt off and on his back it says, I'm gay, right?
Right.
And then he has a sparkler. Remember he used to put a sparkler in his belly and he would light the sparkler off on fire, right? So Chris Gordon goes on stage and he's like, does anybody want to text me a joke? And nobody texts him. He has a few fail safes,
right,
so that if nobody texts him, he could read a few. So he reads a few of them, and they all tank. And then he goes, all right, nobody wants to write me anything? Cool. And he starts to try to do some crowd work, and it's all black people in the crowd, and nobody's talking back to him. And he goes, okay, all right, okay. And he just takes off his shirt, and on his back it says, I'm gay, but he never did the bit.
He never did it.
He never did the bit. Then he turns around and lights the sparkler. But everybody's still like, why does his back say I'm gay? And he turns around, lights the sparkler to nothing. So then he goes and takes his pants off, drops his pants to nothing, and then shuffles down the middle of the aisle and walks right out the door of the club.
Oh, wow. Everybody in that place, pause.
Yo, no, yo, hey, and that is when I realized, okay, I cannot just be constantly doing material in between people because I run out of steam,
right.
You know what I mean? And also, it could fuck up the show. So what I started to do is when they bomb, you just come on, and instead of making fun of them, you congratulate or you talk about how difficult it is or some kind of way to make the crowd laugh, mm-hmm, and be sympathetic to the fact that these are people who have to learn their job by failing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Comedy is,
yeah,
the only job that you show up with no experience and then people expect you to be as good as the best they've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's a fucked up process. So it's like I try to put that into the minds of the audience, and that's how I stopped using so much. Now, if it's really bad, like if it's a fuck up, like a fight,
you have to.
But like what I like to try to do is be humorous at the idea of them failing and their expectations are both ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you, what do you think? It's like expecting a baby to run a marathon and being like, ugh. He didn't even do 10 seconds. You know, I saw a guy do 10 seconds. You know what I'm saying? I saw 8 guys do 10 seconds one time. It's like, yeah, but he's a fucking baby. He just fucking fell out the womb. And it's like, yeah, start running. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, why are you doing this? Like, people expect you to be the best the first time. And if you're not good the first time, 10 years later they see you and they'll still think you're as good as the first time. And it's right. Like, no, I constantly get better at this fucking thing. It's not like your dumbass day job where you go in and you suck on day one and on day 357. We get better at this.
Yeah, and also, people say that all the time, and people have that experience all the time where they've seen someone start out in a venue that maybe isn't the best for comedy. Then they see them when they're, like, years in at a comedy club, and they're like, whoa, like, yeah, you were, like, a lot better. It's like, yeah. And, and you don't know the situation. Like, I could be trying out jokes that,
yeah.
For the first time ever. And then I could just be doing, like, my best stuff at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have no idea. And then people are just like, whoa, man, like, you've changed. It's like, same me.
My favorite one is it's a compliment, but I find it's a backhanded compliment when they go, man, you're actually funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah, what did you actually think?
I know, what the fuck do you think this was good? But I'm like, you know what I attribute that to? How many comedy shows did they go to?
Right.
And see people fucking suck. And then they just think I'm going to be another one.
But that's like, that's crazy to me like you said, this is the only profession where people will constantly say that. You never go to a restaurant and be like, the food was actually good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, because you would not go to that fucking restaurant.
Yeah. You'd but they show up, and then the first thing they do is, ugh, I could do this.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like after surgery, how you feeling? Yo, you actually didn't kill me.
Like, oh, I can't believe it.
You know, I actually feel better after the pills you gave me.
But they have the same expectation as the best they've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, you ever have somebody come at the end of the show and suggest to you to do another famous comedian's bits?
Yeah. Yo, bro, I was just about to say that.
I've had that. They come and they go, yo, you should do something like, remember when George Carlin used to say this or when Eddie Murphy said that? You should do that too. And I'm like, do you even understand how this fucking thing works?
I have a story about this. Okay,
give me
it. Okay, so first, I've had people just like come and like, hey, so who writes your stuff? Or like, it's like,
yes, who writes your stuff?
Right?
Who writes your little shtick?
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
I hate that word. I don't know why.
That's impressive. Okay, so I go out to breakfast with my girlfriend at the time and her friends, and out of the friends, there's like three that I don't know. So I meet them there, and this one friend, she asked me like what I do. I tell her I'm a comedian, and she goes, oh, you know what you should talk about, right? And then so all of them are just like, they're already smiling because they know that I hate this. But then she tells me to do a joke that is not only another comedian's joke, it is my joke.
Ah, that's the biggest compliment.
Yeah. But she had a friend of hers went to a comedy show, obviously saw me, told her about it. She likes it, but now she's telling me to do it.
Oh
right,
my God,
but she's
that must
telling
have felt
me
so good.
She's telling me to do it as she's making it up. She's like, "Oh, you live there, and you work out. You know what'd be funny is if you did this with this and blah blah blah." I'm like, "Huh, okay." And I'm like, "How? So, have you heard someone like do this? Like, how did you come up with this?" And she goes, "Yeah, actually, my friend went to a comedy show and this comedian did it." And they thought he was really funny. And I think that's very funny. I'm like, so you want me to do another comedian's joke? Right? Like, I'm grilling her. And then I could see my, I could see everybody like getting tense. And I'm like, okay, I'll drop it. And I'll just tell her. I'm like, hey, by the way, that's my joke. I am that guy.
Oh, man. I would have sweetened up that one, man. Oh, I would have savored that one a little bit better.
Yeah, I know. But It was the time and the place, you know. It was just so weird to me that someone would pass off another person's joke as their own story, but to a comedian for them to tell on stage. Like, It's like, what?
But I've seen that a lot, man. Like, a lot of people think, I said this before, like, people think that stand-up comedy is easy, but, like, a great comedian makes it look really easy. They're like, they take mundane topics, and they need to relate to you, so they'll take a topic that we've all thought about.
I feel like
expose things that we all know about, and then that person will be like, oh man, I could have done it. And it's like, no, you couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how difficult it is to take something that everybody sees every single day and then say something that is so obvious to everybody that they've never thought about it, and then you have to be the first person to have done it so that you're not called a hack? Yeah. It's ridiculous.
those are some of the jokes where I'm just like, fuck. Because I go through it. I've seen it happen. And then, like, a comedian will do it, and I'll be like, that's amazing. I'm happy for you, but fuck me.
Ivan Decker did that to me, man.
Not being able to come up with it.
With the microwave bit where he's like, you know, how do the microwave, if you try to sell it today, would never work.
Yeah,
never. It's like, it was supposed to heat things up. Does it work?
No.
It's either steaming lava and at the same time, cold. What the hell? Like, he crushes with that one. And I was like, oh, that's such a simple idea of a microwave, and how the fuck is it in everybody's house, but it never works.
It never works.
And he crushes with that one. Ugh. Ugh. That's my fuck you cop joke. Like, when I heard him do the microwave bit, I lost it. Ugh. But anyways. We've got to get going, though.
Yeah.
Sonny,
oh, shit, yeah.
Literally, I made Sonny do this. He's literally leaving for the airport. I just wanted to take a few moments to talk to him while he's packing. But anyways, yo, we got to get going and get you to the airport. And you're going to be back here on January 11th, just before my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it, man. We are doing
January 11th. We're going to do all the run-throughs. It's going to go swimmingly.
It's going to be fucking amazing. It's going to be the Christmas. It's going to be the New Year's Comedy Countdown times two.
Yes, sir. Sterling's birthday bash. It's going to be fantastic.
January 14th, 2021. I am turning 39 years old.
So next year, it's got to be something crazy.
Oh, next year, it's going to be crazy.
Well, no, we got to – next year, like, it's just going to be a vacation thing.
Next year, if there is not a vacation party, I just love doing comedy. But, like, if there's not something big, you just find the ditch that I'm in and leave me there. You know what I mean?
I think for 40, it's got to be something.
Exactly. It's got to be something, or else I'm in a ditch and then leave me there. I don't know how I got there, but fuck that guy. Sterling's birthday bash, Thursday, January 14th on Zoom. All you've got to do is slide in our DMs for the link. We're doing the same thing like how we did for the Christmas show, for the New Year's Eve show, which is it's a pay what you can show, which means we will send you an email to e-transfer to, and whatever you feel you want to send over for my birthday, you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine if you were going to buy me two drinks and a card. You know what I mean? Just take that, put it in a denominational form, mm-hmm. and throw it in an email money transfer. And no matter what the price is that you send, we will send you the link for the show. Once again, we only have room for 100 people. So please get on this early, because everybody that was at New Year's. Everybody at the New Year's show is definitely coming back.
Yeah.
So make sure you guys check us in for that. And again, yo, Sonny, tell my dedicated 40 how they could follow you.
At Sonny D Comedy on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. And make sure you guys write in to the Comedy Reject podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We had one person write in, and haven't heard from any of you guys since. The email is thecomedyreject@gmail.com. That's right. thecomedyreject@gmail.com.
Yeah,
we have an email.
If you have good questions, maybe we read them on the birthday show.
How about if you even write in? I'm going to fucking read it.
There it is.
Because that email folder is pretty empty. So, all right. Thank you, Sonny, so much for taking the time
out.
Let's
get you
to the airport. This has been another episode of the Comedy Reject podcast. We out of here.
Peace.